Now this morning, as we close out this series, I want to discuss God's order for the nations. Friends, I believe that God must weep from heaven this morning as he looks down upon this earth and sees the great tension and to see what has happened to this perfect planet that he has created. Kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, wars and threats of war. And within nations themselves, there's abuse of power, there is subjugation of people, there is poverty, there is crushing taxation. I think it would be safe to say that something in this world, in the nations, is drastically out of order. And you can be absolutely certain this morning that God never intended for it to be this way. You see, God is a personal God and he cares about every single individual. And we must never forget that when God started all of this, he started it with two people, Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the garden. God was the all-wise, loving authority over Adam and Eve, and God wanted the very best for them in every area of life. And to that end, God established government, which is simply his laws. Do you realize that there is no way for more than one person to be in a spot without there being law? Anytime you have two persons, you have to determine there's a peck order. There is also a determination. You don't hit, you don't spit, you don't slap. You know, all of the things we heard as kids. That was the rules of the home. And so God, in his love and concern for Adam and Eve, so that they, along with their family, that would come along, that they might live in peace and have a little heaven here on earth, God gave them direction, which is law, which we call government. Having their very best welfare in mind, God told Adam and Eve that they could eat of all the trees of the garden but one. And that was the tree, yes, we know, the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. Satan, however, entered the scene, as you well know. And he convinced Eve and then Eve Adam that God's rule, his authority, his kingship, and his rules were self-serving. That he only wanted to subjugate them. He only wanted to micromanage their lives. Furthermore, he was holding back the very best from them. So eating of the forbidden fruit then, in that moment, they rejected God's governance and became ultimately slaves to Satan and to sin. And friends, what happened in the garden was repeated generation after generation, leading all the way up to the time of the global flood. And in that time, the Bible says, God looked on the earth that he had created, and it grieved him in his heart that he ever made man. Man had rejected him, rejected his law, rejected his lordship over their lives. And as a result, the Bible says, their minds were caught up in a web of only doing evil continually. God said then to the children of Israel, he said, I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. And God, from the time of the Exodus on, he once again, as though he is starting over, and he is saying, we are going to do this right this time. You will be a holy nation. You will be a unique people. You will be chosen of the Lord God himself, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And again, because we understand, in order for there to be peace and harmony, there must be law or governance, and so God established the law. And there at Mount Sinai, he gave what we know to be the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were 10 simple laws of divine order. And friends, I'm personally convinced that if we were to keep all 10 commandments, the 10 commandments or the 10 laws would be all that any nation would need. 10 laws is all God gave. He said, from these 10 laws, this will teach you how to deal with one another. It will teach you how to live at peace and how to have a relationship with God. This form of government and governance is called a theocracy. A theocracy is based on the belief that God is the supreme power and that his laws are always just and God's laws are right. Theocracy, by its very definition, means God government. So it means then that all government, all laws, all headship is under God. And theocracy, God government, was the form of Israel's government from the time of the Exodus out of Egypt, extending all the way down to the 15 judges we read about in Israel. But just like Adam and Eve, in spite of all of God's goodness, in spite of the fact that God was the one that brought them out of Egypt, that God was the one that led them and guided them for the 40 years, it was God that saw to it that they had water when they were thirsty, food when they were hungry, and that their clothing and their shoes did not even wear out for 40 years. It was all God. But in spite of all of God's goodness, I want you to see what Israel reaches out and what they want now. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 22. Listen carefully. It says, "So all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah." Samuel is the last of the judges that you read about in the book of Judges. They said to him, that is to Samuel, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. We can't trust your kids. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. He knew where to go. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but now listen to this, but they have rejected what? Me as their what? They have not rejected you, Samuel. They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being their king. Israel wants a king like all the nations round about. It is not you they've rejected, Samuel. It's not even your offspring they're rejecting. They're rejecting me as their king." Verse 8, "As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me, serving other gods, so they are doing to you." Samuel, don't think it's strange. They've done it to me, they'll do it to you. "Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. Let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Now keep in mind, he is saying, here's the warning. If you want a king, here's what you can expect. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king will, and this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take." Now I want you, every time you see that word "take," I want you just to shout it out along with me. Will you do that? "He will" what? "Take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots." He's going to use them as cannon fodder. "Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." He will what? "He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants." He will what? "He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage, and he will give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will what? He will take for his own use. He will what? Take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his what? Slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the Lord, or rather the people, refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a what? Give them a king. So Samuel warns them. He says, so you want a king. You want to be like all the other nations round about. When God called you, created you to be unique and special people, his presence has been with you. He has been in your camp, the cloud by day and pillar fire by night. You have seen him open the Red Sea. You have seen him open up the waters of the Jordan. You have seen the miraculous power of God. And now you're saying, away with this God that brought us out, away with his lordship. We want a king so we can be like all the nations round about. And Samuel said, now if this is the choice you're going to make, you need to know what you can expect. And so he said, this king of yours that you choose, he will take your sons for military and for personal service. He said, he will take your sons and put them out on the battle lines. Your daughters will serve in his palace. He will ruthlessly rule over your lives. He will take whatever he pleases. He will tax you to death. He will be a master leader, not a servant leader. And life will become hard. And you will cry out to God in that hour. And you will say, oh God, we have made a blistering mistake. And God will not listen. So he asked them, here's what you can expect. If you want a king, this is what your earthly king is going to do. This is the kind of leadership you can expect. Do you understand? And he's looking him square in the eye. Do you understand the price of this decision? And they look right into the eye of Samuel and they say, yes, we want a king. And so they have a king, not one. Throughout the history of Israel, they had 41 kings and one queen. And what you need to understand, during this period of time, this expansive time, of the 42 monarchs, 41 which were kings, one which was a queen, there was not one good, godly leader in the bunch. Out of 42, all 42 were bad. Matter of fact, of the one queen, she was a real sweetheart. Her name is called what? Jezebel. There is not one single king, and there's not a queen of the bunch that was any good. They all served for themselves and they all took what they wanted from others. Judah and the southern kingdom, they had a few good kings, but most were bad. So the choices as far as governance, they're rather simple. I think we can safely break them down into three categories. The first is a theocracy. A theocracy is God government. It is literally saying, God, you are the one that is the head of state. You are the one that rules over the nations of people. You're the one that rules over our nation. A theocracy then is God government. So it's God, the authority, and it is the laws of God. Theocracy. Secondly, you can have a monarchy. You see, Israel was under a theocracy. They were under God and under God's rules and under God's laws, but they rejected that. And they wanted a monarchy, and a monarchy, by definition, is government of one. It is a government that is mono, which means singular or one. And so it's the government of one. They are the final word on everything. They are the king, they are the queen. Now, there are many nations of the world yet that still have kings and queens. If you go over to Europe, you'll find them. You'll find them in Monaco. You will find them down in the areas of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. You will find them throughout the lands of the smaller countries of Africa. You'll discover them in the UK. Of course, probably the most famous of all in the UK. And some of them to this very day, they are called a king or a queen, but nonetheless, many of them have, you know, other governmental deity or entities alongside of them as well. So you can have a theocracy, which is God government, monarchy, which is the government of one, or you can have a democracy, which is rule of the commons or the commoners. That's where we get the phrase, governments of the people, by the people, for the people. Democracy as we know it had its start with the Greeks back in the 5th century BC. So of the three, we have theocracy, monarchy, or a democracy. In Psalm 33 and verse 12, it says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." The word Lord there, notice it's all in caps, which means not only is he Lord, he is the ruler. He is the one that's over all, the King of all kings, the Lord over all lords. So blessed is the nation whose God, the Lord God, is the King, the ruler, the people he chose for his inheritance. So blessed is such a nation. This morning, what we're going to do once again, we're going to take and let's put this back into, let's see what divine order looks like. Now, in divine order, remember, everything always starts with God, always. And anytime God is not where God belongs, you can know there is going to be frustration, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be chaos. And so, the head of all things and the head of all nations, of all people, in God's divine order, so that nation can live with nation, individual with nation, all starts with God. We're going to take and look at what should go next. You know, many times we look at it and we say, well, is it, you know, the government? Is it, you know, just what comes next? I would say to you, as you look at the Word of God, you'll discover just as God created Adam and Eve, and when he created Adam and Eve, he created them for relationship. God never intended that man would live separated from him. So when he created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, it was a relationship. God was the one that came, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. God was the one that woke them up in the morning and got them started about their day. It was God that tucked them into bed at night, you might say. Literally, God created Adam and Eve, the citizens of the garden, for relationship. He created them not for chattel, not for someone to micromanage, not for someone that he can rule over, but rather the impetus behind the creation of man and the very impetus behind your being alive this morning and in this building is because God wants relationship with you. And so, God as the sovereign, God as the theo government, God govern, God longed to have relationship with the citizens. The same was true when you go all the way down to the time of the Exodus. And now there are people of his own. He brought them out of Egypt, people that were no people at all. In the minds of the world, they were slaves, they were nobodies. But God saw them and said, "You're not nobodies, you are citizens of the Most High God. And I long for relationship with you." So in God's divine order, it's always God, and then it's citizen. Well, in order for any group of people to get along with one another, there has to be some rules. And so God then lovingly gave Adam and Eve the rules of the garden. But first, it was relationship. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. And again, it was for relationship. But then he gave them what we know, the Ten Commandments or the laws. So we have, once again, God in relationship with man, and governance or government, the law, is only to help so that there be peace. Peace in a community, peace at home. There's rules in a classroom. There's rules of the road. There are rules, and the rule is so that this relationship will not be hindered or destroyed. And so the government was meant to be a help to make sure that this relationship always maintained itself in being strong. Well, that leaves the leader. In God's economy, and in God's, you know, structure, in God's order of things, God has placed it in such a way that leaders should not come between him and his people, but rather the leader should enforce God's law so that the citizens can have relationship with one another and with God. Remember, the Bible says, God is not the God of confusion. And wherever you take God and remove him from his position, there will always be, whether it's in the home, whether it's in faith, or whether it is in your finances or any other realm of life, remove God from up here, and there will be, as a result of it, confusion. Now let's begin to look at what did Israel do? This was God's order. And I would say to you today, this is still God's perfect divine order for the nations of the world, for a home, for the two in the garden, or whether it's for the 1.5 million that are out in the, children of Israel, establishing a nation under God. So let's see what happened when they said, we want a king. What they did, let's put the ruler over God. And now, what you've got, a king. He said, this king of yours is going to do what? What was the key word we kept saying? Take. If that isn't true, in 1,000 different ways, whenever you take and put the ruler up here, now Israel thought, here's the deal. Israel thought, we're going to, matter of fact, let's do more like what they did. This is my last Sunday to play with these. Here's more like what they really did, right here. They said, we want over us, we want a ruler. We want a king like all the other nations round about. He will rule over us. But we also want relationship with God. We believe that God is holy, God is righteous, and all of that. But we want a king like everyone else. And government and rules and citizen, where did the citizen end up? On the bottom. And here we have rulers, we've got God, we've got government, and now we've got the citizens on the bottom. Interesting. Read through the Bible, both Old Testament and New, and you'll discover wherever they begin to mess with God's divine order, here's what happens. When it's in God's divine order, there is peace. And that is the reason. He says peace was the result of things being in proper order, just like the atom, just like the universe itself. But you get it out of order, and now you've got rulers making dictate. Here is God, yes, he's an important part of life. Government, the laws, and the citizen finds himself on the bottom, and he finds himself separated from God. And in such a life, that is what we call tyranny. That is what we call subjugation. That these individuals have now put citizen on the bottom. Concern for themselves. Remember, and he shall, what was the key word again? He'll take. He's going to take everything, including your dignity. He's going to take your sons, and he's going to put them out on the front lines of battle. Your sons are going to be the one that's going to march before his chariot. You will be physically, you will be the one that's guarding his chariot from arrows and from, spears. He's going to take care of himself. And now man finds himself in a place he's kind of separated from God by government. and that is tyranny, and that is subjugation. Well, now let's take a look at and see kind of what is the model like today. If you were to take the model today, let's put rulers on top. Let's put government below. Let's put citizens. And where is God? On the bottom. I would say this is the model of where we're at today. In such a model, here's what it says. Rulers, everything is here. We know more than anyone else. And we, along with our laws, are going to rule over the citizen, and God is immaterial. That we don't need God in the state house. We don't need him in the schoolhouse. We don't need him in the public square. You can have him in your church, but he should have no part of authority over anything in our lives, whether it's the ruler, the government, the citizen. If you've got faith, go hide it somewhere, but do not bring it out in the open. And in such a case, what you have is chaos. And I believe that that's what we've got in the world today, because here's what they're trying to do. They are trying then to legislate morality. You see, they know that morality at root comes from God. Right living and right standards and doing things from the heart, it comes from God. And when a person has Christ in their life and they're serving God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, they will not steal. They will not lie. They will not fire a gun or take a knife and take someone's life. But when you do not, when you've relegated God to being unimportant and the rulers we know best, we will continue to expand, because now we are trying to be God. And we know that God is God, God is sovereign, and we also know then that government is trying to become like God. And so it just keeps on expanding, 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 expanding. And so does all of the rules, the law. Here's an interesting statistic. They tried to figure out how many laws there really are in the United States of America. And do you realize you cannot? I challenge anyone in this room, bring me a number. You check it out, I'll give you all week long. You bring it in, I'll give you a candy, all right? You cannot come to me and tell me how many laws are on the books. Literally, they do not know. Here's something that's rather interesting. We're talking about laws and how government wants to, once again, wants to try to legislate and try to make things right, take the chaos and confusion out of daily life. And so as an attempt to do so, they keep adding and adding and adding and adding and adding to the laws. Do you realize on one day alone, on January the 1st, 2010, when the clock ticked through the new day of the first of that new year, there was 40,627 new laws that went into effect in one day alone. Our legislators, they go off and what do? They write laws all day long. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to do what only God can do. Only God can change a heart so that the basic 10 laws, they work. Tacitus said this. Tacitus was a Roman poet, but also he was an individual who was involved in government and high government in Rome back in times of antiquity. And Tacitus said this. He says, the more that a country drifts from God, the more they make new laws. And so you just get law after law after law after law after law. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get this system to work the way it was meant to be. But now let's put it back the way it's supposed to be. And do you realize there's a day that's coming? The Bible says Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth. And he's not coming back as a babe. He is coming back as the King of Kings. He is coming back as the Lord of Lords. And he is going to reign and rule from Jerusalem. And the Bible says he's going to reign with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. So let's get this back the way it was meant to be. We've got God, citizens, in relationship with God. That was the whole purpose. This connection was the whole purpose that God created the heavens and the earth. It's the whole reason he sent his son from heaven above, because sin is separated, and that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. Sin, it'll separate husband from wife, parents from children. It will destroy every relationship known to man. God's design from the very beginning wasn't rules or regulations. He created Adam and Eve because he loved them. He called Israel out of Egypt because he loved them. He has called you out, not to subjugate you or to micromanage your life, but because he loves you and wants to walk in relationship with you. So in the proper relationship for a nation, it is God and the citizens. And every law is only meant to encourage peace and that relationship with God. And where do the rulers belong? They are servants. They're servants of God, servants of the people. And everything they do is to produce law so that citizens can have relationship with God. And when you mess it up, it's like all the boxes. You can mess with them, you can turn them around, but in every case, there's always a predictable outcome. Peace and order. Israel chose tyranny and subjugation. And today I would say that we have chosen chaos, confusion, more and more governments, more and more laws. And there are attempts to, once again, somehow right what has been made horribly wrong. I'm so glad to know that the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Yes, and if they will turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will take and heal their land. Friends, let me tell you, not only the land of America, but this world, the nations of the world, they need a healing that can only come from divine order. I read a piece written back in 1670 by William Penn. He says, if we will not be governed by God, we must be governed by tyrants. He said, if you take God out of this place whereby he lovingly and carefully watches over his own and gives governance laws so that we can get along with one another and have peace on this earth. He said, if you do not have God up here, then you can be assured you're going to have a tyrant up at the top. That was in 1670. He also went on to write, and this was from a prison cell. He says, if you would rule well, you must rule for God. You need to understand where you are. You're under God. And rule by him who has given to kings his grace to command themselves and their subjects, and the people the grace to obey God and their kings. I'm so glad for divine order.